Welcome everybody to Alpha Studio, second time. Most of you were here already last week when Laura Stark and Pertti Ahonen gave you instructions on how to proceed with this course. If you were not here, it's the short outline of the course. So, my name is Jari Ojala. I'm talking mostly about journals and how to publish your research in international journals. And then Laura, who is here at the background, she will continue in October. And your theme will then be more like publishing your studies in English language or something like that. And then Pertti Ahonen will take lead in Wednesday, October 10th, and he will especially talk about publishing in the book format, in monographs, and edited volumes. So both Laura and Pertti had a really amazing track record on publishing items in abroad, and with really good publishing houses and so forth. So this is really an opportunity for you to get the information out of these people. So the whole idea of Author Studio, this is something that we created roughly more than 10 years ago. First as a course for postdocs, so those who have already passed their PhD phase, to get a kind of a new kickstart to publish their research also for international audience. But we also opened this up to doctor students quite early on. And these courses have been delivered both only for doctoral students from Department of History and Ethnology, but in many times we have opened up these courses for also for a little bit larger audience, and then this time for the doctoral students from Faculty of Humanities and Social Sciences. As I'm also the Vice Dean of Humanities and Social Sciences, I'm responsible for research and innovations, and that means that I'm also responsible for doctoral studies. So I'm the person, if you have any problems, any questions relating to your doctoral studies, I'm the person you can contact. Of course, I don't know all the details or the facts or substance matters of your various disciplines you might have. I don't know all the details on the bureaucratic structures, but I can try to find out, and I can always ask help from people who know more about those. So anyway, my theme is on journals and journal publishing. And why so? Here's just a little bit about myself, about my background. I've been editing international journals for more than 15 years now. And I've been in the boards of a number of journals. I've been working as a referee. Nowadays, I would say that working as a referee, reviewing the articles sent to different journals, is something that takes a massive amount of time from people, more and more and more. How many of you have done already referees to articles? So hope that you will very soon get an opportunity to review other people's articles, because that's also kind of a learning curve how to do that, and there is a good way of doing referees, and there is a various bad ways of doing reviewers that are no good for the authors, and they are no good for referees and so forth. But this is an increasing amount of work that we have to do as academics nowadays, and that's of course frivoling. As it's the working as an editor, I don't get any salary out of those tasks. It's not something that you do on a spare time, and as we have, that's quite a lot of spare time working as professors and vice deans. It's all but fun on Sunday morning to do this. I have published myself roughly 30 refereed articles, and then of course a lot of articles that are not refereed and so forth. So I have some kind of an idea of what this business is, but still I'm on the stage of learning. Every day, every process that I'm editing an article, I'm writing an article myself in the group or by myself, I learned something different. And that I find out earlier this week when I was preparing these slides for this This meeting today, as I had, of course, some old slides from 2 years ago, and I just noticed, okay, but this doesn't hold anymore. I don't think like this anymore, or these are the processes that are not important anymore. They were important like 5 years ago, but they don't matter anyhow. But please do accept my apologies that I am biased. I am for journal art. I am for journal publishing, which is not very typical in social sciences and humanities, and especially not very typical in history, which is my background. I'm an economic historian, business historian myself. So it's not typical in our field to really focus on publishing in journals. But I have done that. I have done that since 1997, for 20 years now. And that was because at that time when I was in your position and in doing my PhD studies, it was kind of a new thing, and there was a lot of pressure also from academic policies that in the future, if you want to be in the field, you should publish in journals. Same discussion is going today, but somehow me and some others, we took that really seriously and really turned our focus to publishing in journals and try to find out in the process that how it works. Last week we had here in the university, you might have noticed, we had a research evaluation exercise. So we had an international panel of experts that were interviewing people in different disciplines and different units on what are the topics and what are the issues that we might do better in our research. It was an evaluation of actually a research environment, so we are not getting any grades that you are good or you are bad, but what are the possible challenges and so forth. There were a lot of discussion about doctoral students in those discussions, even though doctoral studies were not really the subject matter of that evaluation. But nevertheless, there was a lot of discussion of how we take care of you guys, which was fair enough, because you are really important for us. You are the key for the university, really. The university is about the teaching and research, and you are both, aren't you? So you are studying here in support of doctoral students, but you are also researchers doing the really original research. So that was one thing. But the other thing that came up time and again is that that social sciences and humanities should be proud about their publishing culture. Let's put it like that. Meaning that we don't have to go alongside with medics and natural sciences of emphasizing only Web of Science-based journals and looking at the citation index, only publishing in journals. But we should be proud that we still publish monographs, we still publish edited volumes, we still do books. I agree. But today and next week, I will still speak only about journal publishing. Okay? Fair enough. So I totally agree with them. I totally, totally agree with them. But my focus now will be on the journal publishing. So, from my background to your future. So what are your experiences so far? How many of you have already published your research in international journals? Couple of you? Were those processes nice or okay? Not necessarily. How many of you are doing your thesis as a monograph base? So that will be just one book. How many monographs? So 1/3, I would say. How many will do article based? So that it will be based by articles. Okay. And even those that are doing monographs, you most certainly, in some point of your research, you will end up doing articles. Either as a part of a part of books or as a part of journal articles. And that's one, I think, key issue to remember is that both article-based or monograph-based dissertations are equally important. There is no way of saying that, okay, this is better because this is article-based or this is better because this is monograph. They are equally as good. It's just the quality that matters really in the end. And the other issue is something that I have learned during these years is that making a dissertation is in the end very similar process, no matter whether you are doing that an article-based version or monograph-based version. You have to do your research setting, you have to compile your data, you have to analyze the data, whatever that might be, you have to write it, and so forth and so forth. But then there are some differences in the process, and as I said, I will now emphasize the journal part and perhaps a little bit overemphasize. But if you just use a couple of minutes now and discuss with your companion just nearby you on these issues that you were already reflecting there in the Moodle, on what type of dissertation you are doing and why you are doing like that. And if you have experiences, you might tell that to your partners. And then, no, this is not important, but then you might a little bit discuss also whether there are some rumors or attitudes in your discipline, especially towards of publishing in journals or in monographs, and how does your supervisor support you with this? Just maybe use like 5 minutes to this discussion. So go ahead, guys, and I will have
people around. Is there anyone who would like to tell a little bit what you discussed in your group? For example, what you had in mind? You?
Okay. We have just finished the introduction part. And actually, we outlined several particular issues, problems, which we, because two of us from Russia, and it's a specific case about the Russian and Russian journals and publishing in Russia, and another guy from Spain. And so we came up that we are all, three of us, are doing article-based dissertations here, and it's much more easy to publish innovative and progressive stuff in international journals than in our national. Maybe other opinions?
Okay. Well, in the Spanish case, there is no real problems with political stuff to publish in Spanish journals, that there is not a kind of bias or political bias in that sense. But sometimes, for example, in the realm of political studies on constitutional debates and so on, there can be, instead, if referring to civil war and conflicts like that, it could be something better to publish in international journals than in local ones, because you can talk openly about that discussion without the bias and without the biases of normal reviewers in history. But it's a very different case, of course, in comparison with the Russian case.
Yes. And this is really interesting, because what actually it means that we are talking about international journals. Are we then automatically discussing about American and British journals, really?
European.
There are a lot of good national journals as well in all countries. And these similar kind of issues do hold with those as well. But of course, or unfortunately, our focus is here on those journals that are publishing in English, which is, again, a bit of a challenge for most of us. Is there any native-speaking English speakers in the room? None. So we have a problem of language. Guess what? I was a couple of years ago in Sydney for a research visit for some time, and I went to a number of departments to discuss of what they are doing there, and what are their challenges in the in research, mainly a history department and economics department. And I was in one really good university. I would not say the name of the university because it might be a little bit embarrassing. Discussing with the head of the department, and he said that, well, we would like to go with the international journals, but it's so difficult for us Australians to publish in those British and American journals. Yeah, that I was like amazed. And are you serious? I'm from Finland. I, I, I have problems of speaking in English, not to say to writing in English. I have problems in speaking in Finnish, you know. We are Finns, we don't speak or write. Yeah, so this is a challenge. So this is a many ways a challenge. Is there any other issues that if someone wants like to tell others at this point? No? I just give this microphone to someone. Who will be that? You guys there? Jari, say a few words.
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't have too much time to discuss. I don't know. We had very various experience in publishing. You had quite a lot of experience already, and I had published one article, but in a national journal, which is not counted, maybe, and you hadn't published. But
did you have good experiences when you published?
Kind of. How about you?
Some publications were going through very quickly, so it was a bit hurry with them. But I had some problems with the language.
Yes.
Even if there was a language correction, but it's more difficult to write in different languages and to express oneself well. Yeah. And then the publications are very different. Some others take several years to become ready, and some are coming in a few months.
Yeah.
Well, and in general, we discussed that the atmosphere in GV department, for instance, seems to be favorable to journal publishing. That it's encouraged to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, but that's also quite incredible. In some review processes, for example, when you have had a professional proofreading, a native speaker has really extensively went through your text, and then you get a review report and saying that your language is rubbish. And so this is also kind of a cheap trick for some of the reviewers, say that you have problems with the language, but then they don't show where exactly that problem is. So that's also kind of a annoying way of doing peer review. But we will talk about the peer reviews either today or next week a little bit of more. So let's discuss a little bit about the author's challenges. You are the authors. You have challenges then you have to have a rationale why you do this in the first place. Actually, I have missed one really important point here. Really, really important point, but I can include it in the slides afterwards. It's part of this. Publishing in international journals, you are in a part of a scientific discussion. You are visible right from the beginning of your thesis. When you first sent your first manuscript to the publishing house, you are in the discussion. Of course, there are several other ways of being in discussion. You might go to the workshops, you might go to the conferences, congresses, whatever. You might discuss in your own department, in your comfortable coffee table with your friends. But this is a little bit a different issue. Then you are really into the international community. And then, which I forgot to mention here, when you publish a part of your dissertation or whole dissertation as a journal articles, then you are truly international academic. If you publish only in Russian language, Spanish language, or Finnish language in your domestic country, you have much more limited possibility in your labor market after you finish your dissertation. As simple as that. There are roughly 18,000 universities or something in the world. And in all of those, English is a language that they can use. Finnish language, not so many universities in the world. some universities in Finland, one in Canada, and one in US, and probably one in Sweden. So that's about it. Then another thing, even if you don't get the paper published, if it's rejected, it's still a part of a progress in your research. You have to think your thesis or your bigger research theme as a part. And then you progress your research as a part. This part, that part. Again, this is something that you can easily do with the monograph dissertation as well. You just take one chapter and another chapter and third chapter and so forth. So it goes as well as this, that as well. But this is important, especially in article-based or journal-based dissertation. And this also is kind of a similar thing with this third one, that is the structure of your research in article by article or book chapter by book chapter in a monograph. Then something that I have noticed, especially as I've been editing some history journals, is the conceptualization of your research. You mentioned that in a Spanish case, you might have difficulties in certain political issues in published in history in Spanish journals. I doubt that whether there is a problem in Finnish journals of a politically tensioned issues. There might be, actually. But more there might be problems of thinking about what this issue is all about. Meaning that if I publish my research in Finnish in Finland about Finnish history, I know that my readers will know about Finnish history and they know that the subject matter as such is important and interesting. But when I try to publish my research in American journal, first of all, the editors will just reject immediately because they say that we are not interested in Finnish history. So therefore, I have to turn my ideas around to think about what in Finnish history is important or how I can use Finnish history to show something that might make my paper important also for American audience, right? I have a really good example, which is unfortunately true, on one paper that we made with my colleague here in Jyväskylä. We wrote that paper a couple of years. It was probably best paper I ever written by so far, and we sent it to the best journal in our field in States. Absolutely best journal. We have really beautiful data, including some Swedish and Finnish stuff there. No matter what the topic was, but there were Finland and Sweden. And because there were Finland and Sweden, we of course compared Finland and Sweden. Of course. That's how we are thought, that we are always comparing Finland and Sweden. So guess what the editor said? Guess what the referee said? Who cares? Who cares comparing Finland and Sweden? They are the same anyway, looking from the Swedish American perspective. And they are totally right. Because in this matter and in many other matters, they are the same. The question was something else than comparing Finland and Sweden. So we got rejected from the best journal. But we reworked the paper and took out all the comparisons because they were nonsense. We were just saying that actually they can use together because they make the paper more stronger as we have data from more data, and the country was not even important really at all. And then the paper was published in one of the best European journals in the end. But probably it would get rejected from the European journal as well in the first stage. And that was a hard lesson, because I have been taught since I was a kid that if you go to watch from television sports game and there are Swedes and Swedes, we are competing all the time. So that has to be somewhere in the background also when you are doing your research. But it's not. So that means that you have to conceptualize your research perhaps more than then when you are publishing only to the domestic audience that knows details and these kind of things. And for example, in Finnish journal and Swedish journal, that comparisons would make totally sense because then the audience would look at it from a little bit different angle, I would say. One what is really important, this is something that will come again later on, is that when you publish a journal article, you have to really be clear with your research questions and actually with the whole research setting. journal article is not a mini monograph. That is something that the kind of first mistake of most of the scholars do when they send out their first articles, so that they try to put everything in the same article. Just in a weekend, I again received 6 articles to journal that I'm editing them, and actually on a Sunday morning I had time, so I read them through and decided better just reject than or do other things. So there was one article. In abstract, the author said something like that: this paper deals with several specific topics. So, done. So I didn't have to even read more, because then I already knew that this is going to be all over the place. 20 pages working on several topics, it just don't work. You have to focus when you do a journal article. But then you have a problem when you do a dissertation based on journal articles, because how you divide the labor between the articles that you are going to combine together in the dissertation so that they kind of work together. Because the process in the journals, that it might take a long time. You have 2 or 3 papers simultaneously in the processes, and in the end they might start to look too much alike. And that's something you don't want to do, because then you will have problems with your dissertation and many other things. So this is also a problem. But that's something that we might also discuss later. And also about the research setting is the thesis statement. Somebody said that it's old-fashioned to speak about thesis statements. Is that so, Laura? I don't know. That was totally new for me.
Yes.
Well, yes, okay. Yeah. So this is also something that in earlier this week when I was preparing this line, I was not entirely sure whether I will put this here, because in at least top journals you shouldn't even write anymore that my statement is. 5 years ago you have to write like that. So this is again like a lingua franca is changing perhaps, but nevertheless you have to have questions and you have to have answers to those questions. And that is what the thesis statements are. So you have to argue something. So that's I guess the point. And it's especially important to in these short articles to clarify this one. Okay, but I actually have it here. Research policies. You have to progress your career. And that's the. That's also the point. I will come to this one also later today or next week, on that. You should also think about the big picture, not only about yourself, my article, but your article in the huge ocean of scientific research. And your article is part of that research, part of that ocean that is discussing with previous research and coming research is discussing with you. And therefore, citations, all the impacts, they do matter, even though they don't matter that much, as some people in the Ministry of Education might think. But this is important. You are part of the deal. You are part of the process. And if you are part of the process, then it's also important. This is also important for your own CV. Your also all curriculum, so that you have these articles there. And you should also think about your publishing strategy. I haven't not discussed this really openly with your supervisors, but I probably will discuss this openly with your supervisor late October when we have meeting for supervisors. So that if you are doing the article based or if you are publishing journal articles alongside with your monograph, think about strategically. Think about strategy, publishing strategy, so that You don't have to publish everything before you are ready. It might be a really good idea, sorry Laura, to leave that large article almost ready, but not yet published. Why? Because that is the key to get postdoc position. If I would be a head of department, I was head of the department for 10 years. If I'm recruiting you, and you come, okay, I had this marvelous PhD, I have 4 articles published in best journals. Then I ask you, okay, and what are you doing now? I'm just compiling my data and I will be ready in 3 years. Not interested. But then you said, okay, I have these 3 articles published in really good journals and I have this 4th article that is about to come next year. Okay, let's talk. Because then I will know that I will get something from you as a postdoc immediately or quite soon. And same goes with the monographs. It's not necessarily a good idea to publish a monograph right away or at least think about whether it's possible to publish the monograph also, let's say also with an international publishing house or really reputable domestic publishing house quite soon after you have finished your thesis in a different format or so. These are the strategies. At least think about those. I'm not sure whether your supervisor will agree with me. Because these are things that are not really openly discussed in our university yet. But as said, we will have a meeting with the supervisors in the end of October. So don't rush to tell them, like tomorrow, that okay, that Ojala, that Weistein told us that I have to do like this. I didn't say that you have to do. I just said that think about it. Think about strategies. So that will help you. That will help community. That will help everybody. That's the idea. Are you still with me?
Yes.
You don't disagree? You can disagree. I really like people who disagree with me. That's something that gets things going right.
Well, a good point with your doing your PhD. Sorry. A good point with your doing your PhD is having like a couple of issues that are out of your PhD. They can be related to your PhD, but to pay attention to them. If your PhD is about 3 years or 4 yeah. years. You can do it. In fact, it's called like joker issues that you can work
yep.
on. So it's a good thing because you're working on something that is not related or directly related yep. to your thesis. But it's even good when you are doing your PhD yep. or you are submerged in a kind of research that can be good for you in the not just for future publishing, but also for clarifying your own ideas and to be in other topics. And that could be also a publishing
yeah, yeah.
strategy as well.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree. Then, of course, we have this challenge of you having to be ready in 4 years. Okay. Then you have to publish the journal articles. It takes time. You have to do the introduction. And still, it would be a really good idea to publish also something extra or have something extra almost ready. It's a huge task, but it can be done. But I don't even claim that it will be easy. It's really, really, really difficult. So how you get your research published? So you have to be active. There are a lot of possibilities. We will go through next time the journals. There are huge, huge amounts of journals. There are more journals to come all the time. Right. Look at the possibility journals. Possible journals, you might contact editors directly in the conferences, whatever. Think about the quality of the journal and be aware that those journals that send emails to you after conference are not the ones that you are going to submit your paper. Those are predators. They're just taking your money. We have ways of looking what are the good journals that are in the publishing forum, UFO, Julkaisu Forum, or somewhere else. So those are the journals you can trust. But there are a lot of predators out there, and they are not really interested in your research. They are interested in your money in your pocket. One thing is to write book reviews. How many of you have written book reviews? Yeah, that's a good. Because I know from experience that journals are really, really lacking a good book reviews. And I mean good book reviews. There are many ways of making book review. But when you make book review, you make hamburger, okay? You all know what hamburger book review is? You don't. No. No. So, I guess hamburger is like something like this, isn't it? Yummy. And so, good book review is short, like it's a hamburger. But start the book review, say something good. Then you come to the beef and say something critical. And then end it up to saying something good. So everybody is happy and you have said your work. Third. Because sometimes I have seen book reviews made by younger colleagues which are like this. Even though the book is rubbish, don't do it like this. Because then you will get a reputation that you are kind of overcritical, you are an awful person. Because then it becomes personal, really. This is also a way of writing in English language, that you have to try to at least find some. Say, that, for example, that this book that I read has so beautiful cover. However, the content is rubbish. But then, in the end, the back cover is also very beautiful. Once we had that happened in the 1990s, if I remember right. We had one really good doctoral student, and she wrote an extremely critical book review to a journal. And then she had really problems of getting her papers published in the journal because she was so critical, and she just didn't give any mercy to the author. And I guess she was a little bit overcritical. So just remember, hamburger. And you will find there are always some cool things in the most. Oh, no, not maybe. But then if it's so bad, don't write a review at all. There are really bad books as well. They are in there. Yeah. And then of course, write conference papers. All of you have been in conferences, I guess. So that's the part of the progress in your research. And in the end, all the good articles will be published. It might take time, you might be rejected once, twice, triple, five, six times, but it will be published. Because you are doing good work. Otherwise, you won't be a doctoral student in our faculty, because we take only brilliant persons here. You know, it's as simple as that. I'm totally convinced. You can do it. Content matters in the end. Then you will get help from people, discuss with people. And then one thing, that article structure, when writing in English, that's something that Laura will discuss with you. It's different that, for example, we Finns were taught back in school. You have to kind of revise your ideas. Nowadays, I guess it's a little bit different in Lukio and other places where they teach people to write, but it was totally different back in the 70s and 80s when I was school. Okay. Any comments by so far?
I have a question, actually. I was thinking that... Sure, sorry. Yeah, I was wondering that as a starting researcher now, if I'd like to write an article to a Finnish journal to get some criticism, to get something out of it, and I would get it published in that like low level Finnish journal.
Journals are not necessarily low level.
Okay.
They have best.
I'm a little biased. I don't know that.
Finnish language.
Okay.
Believe me.
Okay, I believe you. Let's think that this journal I'm talking about would be like UFO 0, UFO 1. then if I would want to publish that same paper, just extend the subject matter a bit or tell something more about it, but I would have this solid base from the criticism like I got from this Finnish journal, would I be able to translate it in English and then try to publish it somewhere else? And I understand that that would be self-plagiarism if it would be the same paper. But I don't know, is this something that is done by anyone? And if, how?
That was a huge question. That was a really huge question, because now we are in the heart of the ethics and plagiarism and all these things. This was not necessarily an issue in the 1990s, but today it certainly is. International journals, all journals, domestic journals, they demand when you write the copyright, deal with them, that this paper has not been published elsewhere in any language. But then you enter up to an even bigger problem, to what I don't have a clear answer, really. Because it's your topic, anyway. And the papers are somehow related, anyway. But is it the same paper? Is it a different paper? Where is the line? There are, in the end, a lot of similarities. There might be even some sentences that are exactly alike. But still, you have to be really, really, really cautious. And I wouldn't do that. Laura.
I have a suggestion for that. Now, be ready. I'm sorry, I'm in the back here. Be ready for these rules to change, because everything is changing very fast when it comes to ethics and plagiarism and other things. What I would recommend right now, but listen for new information that is coming, what I would recommend is that you publish your article in Finnish, and then when you're ready to publish the same or similar article in English, you ask the Finnish journal, or perhaps before you even start all the work, you ask the Finnish journal, is it okay if I publish this in English? Then, if they say yes and you publish it in English, do refer to yourself so that you can't be accused of self-plagiarism. Just put your name and the year and have the citation of the Finnish language journal so that you make it clear that this is based on, you don't have to say exactly the same article, but, based on my prior research, et cetera, et cetera. The people that are going to be reading your article in English probably won't know Finnish. I mean, globally we're talking here. So they won't really notice. And you can change the title a little bit. But do ask the Finnish journal for permission. And if they say no, then they say no. That's then you don't get to do that. But that would be what I would go with right now. However, the rules may change. So that's...
Yeah, I totally agree. And in the end, it will be a different article in most cases. For example, I have myself published last year, really, I think that was a pretty good article in International Journal of Maritime History. That was based on an article that I published with a colleague in Finnish previously, but that they are still totally different because the focus is different and so forth, but they are kind of referred to each other. And same goes the other way around. You might have something published in English but you would like to also publish this to a Finnish audience, to serve the Finnish audience, because Finnish taxpayers are paying our bills, so sometimes we really need to publish also in Finnish. So these are really complicated issues. But just the translating article as such from Finnish that you have published to an English with the same title, that will be a no-go. Absolutely no-go. And remember that nowadays big journals, especially, they have a really good data mining systems that if you have similar sentences in several articles, they will find out immediately and so forth. So this is a growing problem because there are also people out there who are not as honest as we are. Let's put it like that. Is there a question? No? Okay. Let's go ahead. Yeah, but this is a really good question, really, really good question, and we hope we can discuss about that later. So, it is a whole lot of work. In a research evaluation, it was stated time and again that how much time it takes to write a monograph. But if you are really, really in a top journal, something that I will publish only 3% of the matter that is sent, you have to be prepared to do 3 or even 5 times work per page than with a monograph. And now I'm really serious, because it is as such. There are journals that are easy. Sometimes you might get your paper published really, really rapidly. I have done 3 reviews on papers. I have seen one doctoral student who made a response letter to a journal article that was, I guess, second or third round, probably second round. The response letter alone was 100 pages long. And the paper was rejected. Paper was rejected. And then you say that monographs are easier or harder. They are not. It depends on what league you are playing on. So this is just to show you that there are problems. And this is also an issue that you seriously should discuss with your supervisor if he or he demands you to publish immediately an UFO3 high-impact Nature with impact factor or something, 42 or something. You should say no. Because you will end up to doing this, and you will end up most probably to be rejected anyhow, no matter how good your article is. Just because the competition is so tight in those really, really top journals in certain fields, not in any field. But there are also cases that you really do less time. Not actually, always you do a little bit more time than with monographs, but much less than 3 times. You might do double the time or something like that. I have published that about 30 articles. Only one article is published with editorial acceptance immediately, so that it didn't even went to a reviewers, which I was really sad about, because I would really like to have the impact, and I really would like to improve the article. So that's the problem. So you do the revisions, you do the response letters, you do the cover letters. We go through this response letter a little bit more in a minute. And then you end up revising, and then you'll be rejected. And guys, I know that that's frustrating. That's impossibly frustrating, especially when you are a doctoral student and you are doing dissertation that is journal-based and you get rejected twice, 3 times with different journal articles. Then you have all those articles around, then you have to decide in some other journal to send them, then totally revise the paper to better fit to the next journal and so forth. You will be frustrated, you will be bored, you will be ready to walk out the door and never come back. But that's happening to all of us. So that's awful part of this work. Only I can hope that you can discuss with these others. Have people who can support you at that moment. You will have those disappointments. There might be some master there who get everything published right away. Even though you are in our faculty, our PhD students, I still doubt that there are that kind of a masters out there. So be ready for disappointment. That will happen. That will come. If there's anyone else who help you or who can discuss you, you can discuss with me. Because I've seen that so many times. I've been there so many times myself. But how to proceed is you have to start writing. Make draft version. Start writing. It's not dreaming about it. And then when I make my masterpiece in the future, you have to start to make your masterpiece tonight. Draft version starts with one word, and that's a draft version already. You don't have to write in a computer. You just put it in a pencil somewhere or write to the sand with your tongue, But whatever, you have to get it out of your hands and also submit the gritty paper. You can't kind of be like having your egg like a bird and keeping there in the nobody sees my eggs. You have to let them go. Same goes with the monograph, by the way. I have never seen a perfect dissertation. Never. I will never see a perfect dissertation. There is no such thing as a perfect dissertation. There is a certain time that you just have to put an end. You put the last word. I know this could be better. I don't have any more time. Next. We have a lot of problems of doing research. We don't have money. We don't have ideas. We don't have intelligence. We don't have capacities. We don't know certain methodologies or so forth. Those are things that we can handle. But the most problematic thing is that I think that is there is time. We just don't have time. And you can't work 12 hours, 16 hours a day. I've been there. Believe me, I've been there. And I have seen a number of doctoral students burning out. You have to take care of yourself. And taking care of yourself means submit that paper. That is the best health care you will ever get anywhere. Okay? Still with me? Sorry, there comes bad things and there comes good things here. Idea is to get you crying, get you laugh. No. First draft, this is some really old stuff from American stuff, but this is something I've just leave it there, that you have to have the information that you need, and then you start to, you might select a journal, study the journal, something that you have now done. Okay, there is something that we'll discuss next week that you have done already to Moodle. You selected those three journals possible, and if you haven't done that yet, please do that immediately in the Moodle. And also, you should study the journal a couple of years. What kind of stuff they have actually published, if that's possible? So just to take a look at that, whether my topic is really something that I can do in this journal, really, and that's the whole idea why. Why we decided that you should pick up three journals and look what they have done. Write quickly in your own words without editing, not necessary coherent and ready texts. This is, you just start writing. But there are differences between different people and in this one. I know two really annoying persons in terms of writing articles. No, they are really beautiful persons otherwise, but they are really annoying when it comes to academic writing. I've been in working both of those in same office spaces many, many years ago. Not at the same time, but at different times. And they are like this. They walk around the room, think. Then they might go to the to write papers, to some text, like this, the French noting and so forth. They might go for like this for a couple of weeks. They don't write a word. And then they sit down to their computer and they write an article in one sitting. And they can do that. But I doubt that that's really a minority of academics who can do that. But they are really perfect, so they really condense everything inside the heads, and then they do it. But this is most probably the way that most of us will do. Just the make a chaotic text, and then start to make it to a more coherent. But if you can do like that, by all means, that works well. Make an outline so that my My article will have an introduction, then it will have a literature review, then it have a data and methods section, and then it have a analysis section 1 and analysis section 2, and then it have a conclusion. So very simple. Even this is sometimes really difficult to some persons to understand that in an article you have an introduction and then you have a conclusions and then you have something in between. Surprisingly problematic, really. And also, I will come to this later, that when you are talking about introduction, you have to also discuss in conclusions. This is something that Laura will tell you later. You might even put here some ideas. Okay, I will write 2 pages about that. Literature review, 3 pages. Data, I can do it in 1 page. Then 5 pages, 5 pages, 3 pages, or 2 pages conclusions, and then I have references that will take anyway 3 pages. So that you have already kind of a structure how many pages per issue you might have. So that will help you to keep it the process clear when you are writing the paper. Otherwise, you might start here, analyze it, because you really like this. I got the data. I really like this. This is a really funky stuff. And then you add up, you have 25 pages ready. Won't work. And same goes with the monographs as well. When you start the monographs, then you just add up pages, 10 pages, 15 pages, and so forth. Laura.
Pages, because that's one place in which it gets really out of control really fast, and I've never done it with articles, but that's a great idea. With monographs, it's really necessary. The one tiny comment I'd like to make is that, for example, in my field, we don't have literature reviews anymore, and so what I'll be doing when I talk about the structure of the articles, I want to hear from all of you what you've heard from your supervisors, because I keep getting surprised about how different structures are in different fields. But absolutely the point about the introduction and the conclusion, having to be mirrors of each other, and so that's all very...
Just to pick up these, but that's because, that might be some other... But you have to refer even your discipline to a previous research. You still have to link your research to previous research somehow, not necessarily in a literature review way.
Right. It's in ethnology, at least we do it through a theoretical approach.
Okay.
But it's not we don't think of it as a literature review because we have the one very narrow theoretical approach.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. That will come in most other disciplines, I guess, as well. So you don't necessarily have to have a different or separate literature review, which is, again, a norm in many fields of social sciences, for example, as far as I know. Write to articles in parts. My suggestion is to start with introduction and end with the introduction. You write and draft introduction, that is what I would like to discuss here. When you have it already, then you have to rewrite the introduction because it won't probably work anymore because you have changed the idea a bit during the process. So that's again something that probably might make sense. And make sure that the introduction and conclusions discuss.
Sorry.
Just keep the microphone.
Is going to be important, and you will want to end with it, definitely. However, I'm going to suggest one alternative way. I think both of these are probably equally good. My suggestion is going to be to start with the conclusion, to write the conclusion. What is the message that you really want to say? What are the main points you want to get? What is that you want to tell the reader? And then from that, you kind of extrapolate your introduction afterwards.
Yeah. Keep the microphone.
Okay.
So that will save my time of running here. I totally agree. That's also a good idea, really good idea. Take a break, revise. Take a break, revise. Take a break, revise. Take a break, revise. And take a break enough. Go to swimming, go to jogging, go to sail your sailing boat or whatever you might do, but do something else. Something that you are free of a thinking, and then you have to then you can start to condense the paper, so you don't have to hear think that much about what is the word count of the journal that is journals demanding. Usually it's 8,000 words at max. Some journals might take, nowadays they take quite long papers as well, because it's more like a digital publishing, so they might be up to 15,000 words even, but. You don't have to think about the length until here. But then again, thinking about length already in the beginning, so that it's not totally biased, but still you have to condense it somewhere. And then if you have a division of labor, so you have a multi-authored paper, which we haven't discussed at all yet. Hope we have time for that next week. If we don't, then that's a pity. But if you have a multi-authored paper and somebody is doing the intro and somebody is doing the analysis, and you don't make sure that it's kind of a checked, that it's really equal, it really shows. Editors will see immediately who has written that part and who has written that. Although there's a different person here and a different person there. So this is something that you also be really careful to make it really coherent. And division of labor is a good idea as a whole if that really adds value to the paper. But again, there are a lot of differences between different disciplines, so that in many disciplines it's in practice not allowed at the moment, or not allowed, but it's kind of a not as what would be proper word here? Not as usual, at least, to write multi-authored papers in your dissertation phase. So, process, these are just the very simple. Okay, is there any questions at this point? You still got the idea? I'm not arguing that this is the only way of doing things. I'm just arguing that these are my experiences by so far. And as I said, I thought many things differently just 5 years ago. And my I'm still allowed to change my points of view. Anyway, so first, of course, you have to have an idea. What are you talking about? What is your article all about? Well, what part of a dissertation it is? Also here you should really discuss if you have multiple authors, what is the division of labor, who has the first name in the paper, will it be in alphabetical order or in other format of order. If you have multiple authors, then you have to really be careful in your dissertation when you compile all together, that in the introduction you have to show that what parts are something that you have done, not your supervisor or not your other co-author and so forth. So this is a problematic, but do it beforehand. There has been situations where these co-authors have been not really discussed. I have not seen that in... there was a couple of years ago in another Finnish university, a really annoying case. I think that they were all postdocs already, or almost postdocs, and one was professor. And then they had some kind of an idea what will be the order of authors, and then the person who sent the really last version, really, really last version of the paper, changed the order of authors, putting his name first. They were very good friends before that. They don't speak anymore to each other. So that's really something you don't do. And even though I was not at all part of that process, those people started to call me that, oh, on earth he could do that. And then the one Can you tell them that I didn't do that on purpose? That's sort of a mistake and anything. But done. Don't mess the names. Just discuss that beforehand. Then go to the workshops, go to the conference again and again and again, if you have money. But sometimes you can go to workshops in your own department, then you don't need to go overseas to workshop your paper. To get ideas. This is also a little bit complicated because you might get up a competing paradigms from different conferences. With the competing paradigms, I mean that if I was the supervisor and then he or she goes to the conferences and get some wrong ideas that I don't like, which usually they work, okay? But the problem is that if you have been in three or four conferences and you get new ideas from each conference, and then you would really like to put this idea to that paper, and also that idea to that paper, and also that third idea and a fourth idea, and then you end up to a situation where you have a paper that has actually several good ideas, and then you put it to the abstract. And what happens in the editorial desk? It will be just rejected. So you have to be clear. You can change your idea in the workshops. Then you might, but you can't have them all embedded to the same paper, because it won't work. And be really careful when you introduce these different paradigms, especially in the fields that you are not that sure about. You should be sure about your own field, but not necessarily. There are so many things happening in science. So that you might end up of putting people to discuss with each other in your paper, that is previous literature, that doesn't discuss with each other. And then you are in serious problems, especially if the editor is one of those persons, which many times happens, or referee is one of those persons. So be really careful. And especially if you are doing a paper that has a multidisciplinary approach, so that you are kind of trying to deal with different disciplines, then you really have to master all those disciplines. If you don't, then ask somebody to come to co-author with you who masters the other discipline. Otherwise, you will end up to a certain amount of problems. Laura, go ahead. Yeah, Laura was saying just to the that video that one person doing many disciplines is usually doesn't just work. Okay, then you have to select the journal. Journals are not selecting you; you are selecting the journal. That is something that you have done now, and if you haven't, just do it now, and we will discuss that next week. What is the most suitable for your paper? You might also already start to think about the impact. This is also something that we discussed next week, whether it does make any sense of you even think about it. Sometimes it might, but in most cases it don't. So you select journal, and you made up, okay, here is a good journal, but my idea is not working in this journal. So you are right in the beginning. So you self-reject your paper already in this. It's not as dramatic as it shows. But this happens in many times. Or actually, you might have already started I would really like to have my paper published in the New England Medical Journal. And then you end up that, okay, my linguistic paper doesn't necessarily go align with this medical journal, even though it has a high impact. Highest in the world. Then, when you have selected, you submit the paper. Using nowadays, all the good journals have really fancy submission systems, or not really fancy. They don't work properly, but they work anyway, and they are better than we had 20 years ago when we didn't have these submission systems at all. please write a cover letter. Editors really would like to hear few words from you. Just, hi, please find attached to my paper. This is part of my PhD thesis. I'm from this university, and that's it. Because that kind of gives a little bit of a human touch. When I got papers that don't have any cover letters, then I have to do some background studies in case that there are also papers that are sent by even by computers nowadays, not to our journals, but there are some problematic figures also there.
Can I have a question here?
Just keep the microphone, Laura.
Have always just submitted mine because I had no idea what I should put on a cover letter. So this is really interesting that I should write something. So what is the kind of, you said that, you know, if I were writing a PhD thesis, but what else? What else are you looking for?
Usually very shortly. Don't write like this huge, but just a few words to let us know who you are. Let me give an example. Some years ago, I got a really interesting article from really distant area of the world to the Scandinavian Economic History Review. We publish works from different parts of the world. That was not the problem. But the paper was really strange. It didn't really have anything to do with economics and not that much of history, but still there were some ideas in that one. I have no idea who that person was. And there was no cover letter. So there's no way of knowing that what this is. And then I have to use like a half day of work to find out. And then I found out that this was really an interesting case indeed, that a person had some kind of a research group in some country somewhere. And using this huge research group, giving governmental funding to write his papers and doing a lot of self-citation to showing in Google Scholar that he has impressive citation impact, but not really a single paper in any classy journals, A, B, or C level journals. So it was kind of a, I don't know, state-made predator authorship. But the paper was not that bad anyway, but I could reject it because it was not suitable for our journal. And then I even found a huge number of discussions in different discussion groups, scientific discussion groups, about this person and about of this really bouncing the lines of an ethical way of doing research, because he was always putting himself as the sole author, but there was no way that he could write 35 articles in 2 years. No way. No one can do that, even in lousy terms. So anyway, but this is just to keep us happy, basically, and keep you happy, because editors are just human. And also check formalities. If the journal demands of an apostille referring, that is the index citations, you do index citations already in the first submission. Because there are journals that reject papers based on these formalities. They get so many papers in that they don't just want to start to mess with papers or authors that don't even look at what the journals are asking for. I'm much more like open-minded in this way. A journal is not so good at... Anyway, but we can do that later. But I have been sending my papers to journals that are... that might just reject if you don't have all the formalities right from the beginning. So check those. Then you will have a desk decision made by other editors. It depends again from the by journal. They have usually all journals have group of editors. One might be an editor in chief and so forth. And who makes the decision depends on journal. And then they might do the. Decision to send the paper to review, to have two or five reviewers, That will take 1 to 4 months, sometimes even more. Nowadays, it's extremely difficult to get reviewers, really. But you might have also desk rejection. Desk rejected because this paper is not suitable for our journal. The focus is not clear, paper is not clear at all. You might get here a decision of reject and resubmit, which is quite okay, because then they leave a door open that you might, if you improve this and that part, then you might resubmit the paper, but we don't still necessarily accept the paper to the further process. But this is usually the way it goes. There might be a differences in different journals, okay? But this is how it goes. Here we have this, what I told before. Now it comes from the review. Okay? You have these 2 to 5 reviewers usually. Some papers might go only with one if it's in really, really rare occasions. And 5 reviewers is, I think, that is the wasting the academic life of human beings, but that also happens. And I've been in the papers that had 5 reviewers and each review having 4-5 pages. So that means that you got a lot of response. So be happy about these reviewers, even though they are highly critical. Be happy that you get feedback for your research. Usually these people take their position seriously. The more paper, more better the journal, better the reviewers are. So that's also a problem of the not so good journals, that the reviews are also not so good, not necessarily. But take all the credit here. And a problem with the reviewers also from the editor's point of view is that they are not alike. Someone might say that this is extremely good paper, you should publish it. And someone said this is really lousy work, this should be rejected and all the copies should be burned. This is, actually, that's, believe it or not, there has been one review like that. Not for me, but for my friend. This is so lousy paper that you should burn the copies. So whatever comes, as the review reports, there has been even worse. And I will come to that because that's also a legal issue that the review reports shouldn't be like that. Okay. And then the editors make decision. There are plenty of different ways of putting this in different journals, but this is probably the way that is nowadays usually done. Accept as is, which is really good if you get from one review round and it will be accepted. Of course, you might get accepted already here, but as I said, this is really rare. Only once in my lifetime I have been accepted the paper immediately by editors before sending to reviewers. And that's not really happening. Conditional acceptance or minor reviews, that's really good one if you get it. Then you know that your paper will be published. You just do exactly what the editors say. You do exactly what the reviewers say, if you can. And if you can't, then you have to have a really good explanation. Why didn't you do that? Really good explanation. But you have to have explanation always to all comments the editors and reviewers say. Because also editors make comments, if they are good editors. If they are lazy editors, they don't do that. Then there might be revise and resubmit, which is more like a major revisions, and that's okay as well. Just they obey the rules, and you might get it published in the end. Not necessarily. Then there's this reject and resubmit at this phase, that you have to do actually a more or less revise the whole paper, and you have to start the process right away. But again, it kind of gives you still a little bit of a possibilities that they are still a bit interested in my paper. So even this is not necessarily that bad thing. Then you might get just a reject. And it's not bad at all, then you can just find a new paper, new journal, and revise the paper. But this also shows that you can't keep your articles forever, because these processes will also take time. Then you revise. What is here? I can't Here we have a loop. If it's rejected, you are back on the loop as well. Then you revise it. I can't remember why I put those things there, but anyhow, when you're revising it, you have to, as I said, take into account all the comments. Sometimes you just cannot use them in your paper, but then when you write this response letter, you have to go point by point by point by point, showing how you answer to these questions posed by the referees and editors. Do it that also for yourself. Do it to your supervisor. Do it to the editor, and do it to the reviewers. Because those papers are really annoying if they don't answer clearly to the reviewers' comments. And then the paper is sent again to the reviewers, and reviewer says that, okay, this person doesn't even reply to my work that I have done for this person, this doctoral student who wrote this paper, and I give my heart to make it better, and he or she doesn't even answer. So it's a part of the deal, and it takes a long time. To write a response letter, it might take days, weeks to write. As I told you, I've seen a paper with 100 pages response letter. The paper had 5 reviewers. It's having almost 10 pages. That's really easy to do. You have the review report here. You just tear it to the pieces. There is one sentence or one issue, then you answer that. Then it's another issue, you answer to that, and so forth and so forth. If the second reviewer has the same issues, you answer to the second reviewer as well. You don't pile them up. You answer each person and also to editor. Because then also editors know, seems, okay, this guy is taking this seriously. He or she really wants like to have this paper published. This is a serious academic. Okay. We might hear about this person later on. Perhaps we should publish actually this paper. These things matter, believe me. Then you resubmit. Cover letter, response letter. Cover letter, response. Please find out that's my revised paper. I thank the editors and the reviewers. Try to be as polite as possible, even if you don't like the editors and reviewers. It's a hamburger and again, but without beef. No criticisms here. Then you have a desk decision by the editors, either to call the reviewers, or it might be rejected. And then you are on the loop again. And finally, it comes from the reviews, then it's decision, accept thesis. Whoa! Or usually at this point it's conditionally acceptance, because there's always some technicalities that editors would like you to do in the paper. For example, it's too long, it's too short, it doesn't obey certain rules of the journal, because one really annoying thing is that if this process takes a year or so, the journal might have changed their styles in the process, and then you have to do all the noting systems again. Last year I was in one journal in that situation, that they changed the system in the between, and then I used the New Year's Eve to the changing the refereeing style. And then it goes to the proofing time. It might still take time. There's a lot of things that they are doing nowadays, and they are doing perfectly. And then you have to be also really careful there. The really last version is the one that you really would like it to be. Okay, I think my time's up. I have a lot of things here. I probably can give only 1/3 of the ideas what I would like to give you next week, but hope that these were at least a bit helpful for you in developing, and I hope that I was not frustrating, but more like promoting the idea of publishing journal articles, because you all can do it. Thank you, guys.